Hey, gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National People Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. RBNRepublicBroadcasting.org. It's a network that just doesn't stop a free speech because things just don't stop. We gotta keep handling them. They keep coming at us. So anyway, go to RepublicBroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Operators will be standing by. And I've got Jeremy standing by. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Patrick. It's good to be on the Patrick and Jeremy Noon Show on Wednesday.
It happens sometimes. And, well, so if we had recorded this last night, we might have missed one of the big stories. What are some of the stories we're going to be looking at, Jeremy?
Well, I was browsing the Stormer this morning, and this headline hit me: Pennsylvania, a man decapitates his father and declares himself leader of the militias, calls for violent uprising, and gets arrested. There's a 32-year-old man in Pennsylvania. Hang on, I'll tell you the town. All right. All the stuff on him is obviously QAnon, talking about restoring Judeo-Christian values.
Thank God.
There, so far, no neo-Nazi or racist stuff. He actually called for all races that are patriots to rise up against the government. He claims to have had $10 million to pay bounties to kill federal agents. Now, look, anybody that's read The Stormer, let me just share this with you, knows that Anglin puts out some satire every now and then, and you don't get it until about a third of the way into the article, or sometimes a fourth. And I'm reading this, and I'm like, this can't be real. This has got to be satire. And I went to other, news sites, and sure enough, it's all over the news, okay? All over the news. Justin Mon, it's John spelled with an M. Replace the J with an M, and that's the dude's name. Like I said, he's arrested now. So he's calling for a crackdown on LGBT and BLM and Antifa. He had a 15-minute video, so no manifesto yet. Usually we get a manifesto on these things. But it was just a YouTube video that he made that was taken down, of course. And then one thing that they could probably get him for racist is being he said that there is an agenda to disenfranchise white men. But then he immediately, stated that non-whites, need to join this thing too. He claims that he was endorsed by John Hickenlooper and John Kasich, which I doubt, which I'm sure that didn't happen. Let's see. He was trying to sue Microsoft for tax evasion. He took out a bunch of student loans and then tried to sue the federal government, saying that they didn't, because of the government's, wrecking of the economy, he couldn't get a good job. Therefore, he couldn't pay his student loans back. Therefore, they owed him, money that he would have made making a good job with these student loans. So it's very fascinating that all this is right on the heels of the kickoff at the border of the convoys, right? I don't know if you've had time to browse this. What's your initial react, real quick, before we go much further?
I would say, my initial reaction is a severely mentally ill guy, and he killed his father.
Beheaded him. He claimed his father was in league with the feds, or maybe even actually a federal agent. I didn't get that straight. He also has this messiah complex. He was a stoner. I got nothing against marijuana or people that smoke it, whether it's recreational or medical. So I don't think, I know a lot of great people that smoke that would never do anything like this. They lead very responsible, stable lives. But this guy is a stoner, and he wrote a book, according to Anglin's, Poems I Wrote While Stoned. A collection of poems. by Justin Mohan. Again, I get to this part of the Stormer article and I'm like, okay, here's the satire. Because, you know, England's very anti-marijuana, right? He claims that it makes people crazy or something, whatever. So I'm like, this has got to be England putting satire in. I Googled the book. Sure enough, there's the book on Amazon. Poems I Wrote While Stoned, a collection of poems by Justin Mohan. It's like, Patrick, every year, you know, every year tries to outdo the last one. And they haven't outdone 2023 yet, but they're getting kicked off to a good start with the convoys, the, you know, the Jew tunnels, and now this stoner millennial who's decapitated his head calling for a violent uprising against all federal agents. Getting off to a good start. We're not even out of January yet.
Yeah. Well, I'm perusing down the article, and I see England writing, clearly this individual would be diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia.
Which, again, the stoners that I know are not anything. I wouldn't characterize them as schizophrenic. They're very stable.
Well, no, but it doesn't mean that the marijuana made him paranoid schizophrenic. And that the marijuana may have nothing to do with it, or the marijuana may have bad interactions with whatever medications he might be on. I don't know what medications he's on. These people, if you're diagnosed with schizophrenia, typically you take a lot of drugs, lithium and other drugs.
Right.
And sometimes the patients take them, and sometimes they go off them, and sometimes when they go off them, they go off. And then, you know, if they're smoking marijuana, that's just one more element to it, which
right.
can, you know, make them go one way or another.
And you know, it is characteristic of millennial age people, even more so than Zoomers. So many, I don't want to give a percentage, but I mean, most of the stoners I know are millennials. And, you know, with your Gen Xers, you get more heavy drinkers if you're going to get anybody, you know, imbibing or doing something like that. Mostly your millennials are stoners. Zoomers are vapers. But what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. I know you're not blaming marijuana, but like, what all, okay, let me just assume, since we're on your show and I'm not going to give you what I'm contemplating in my head. Let's assume this guy just legitimately snapped and this wasn't some kind of a plan or plant. Okay. What we do, I think what we can very safely assume is that the media and the Jewish dominated system will take this and they can get, look how much stuff they can get out of this. You could get white supremacist terrorism, even though he didn't claim to be a Nazi. Nothing's found yet. He did talk about the disenfranchisement of white Christian men. So you could get that. You could get white terrorism out of it. If they, you know, if he had a gun, or whether he has a gun or not, they could definitely get, you know, more red flag laws going on, reasons to take people's weapons for any kind of medication that they're on. So they could get that out of it. It's definitely, you know, with the standoff at the border, with Hot Wheels Abbott and the different National Guardsmen coming down and the truckers and the convoys and everything that's happening, they can definitely get a reason to crack down on that. Now they've got a very good reason to crack down on that, and they can point to this guy. And then since he's not strictly a white nationalist or a Nazi, they can be like, well, look, it doesn't matter whether someone's a Nazi or not. Anybody that questions or that talks about pushing back on the government, going against the federal government, could be considered a terrorist. They can get all kinds of stuff out of this. So I'm not saying that they planted this guy or even that they did an MK Ultra thing on him. I'm just saying, like, what they're going to do with it, the possibilities are endless.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, it just seems like an extremely... paranoid schizophrenia. I mean, I know people. I don't know anybody who's murdered someone, but I know people who I've worried about. And I've on occasion throughout my life had to intervene myself, physically or legally or whatever. And physically even, yeah. There are people who get really, mental illness is a real thing. And this is going to be used, and maybe, well, I don't know. It's such a dramatic story. You know, did you ever hear the song "Heard It Through the Grapevine"? Marvin Gaye, you know Marvin Gaye?
Of course. When I was a kid in the 80s, they had the raisin commercial where the little raisins were singing that song, "Heard It Through the Grapevine." Yeah. Remember that? Yeah. That was a big
deal. Yeah, he murdered his dad.
Marvin Gaye?
No. Marvin Gaye murdered his dad. 1988. It was, I'm almost sure it was 1988. His dad lived in Washington, D.C., was a Christian minister, and Marvin Gaye had been over in Europe for a while, and he had been in, and he was doing drugs. I mean, in his case, he had a long history of drug use, and he came back. And what was the issue? I don't know. It was something messed up. And he didn't decapitate his father, but he murdered his father in the house in Washington, D.C., yeah.
Yeah, and you know, we've discussed the red flag laws before. I mean, here's the thing, Patrick. If we lived under a system and under a government that cared about us, I would be all for red flag laws. I would be for a lot of different laws that protect the public. But we don't live under a system that cares for us. We live in a system that hates us, especially if you're white Christian male. And they're not going to, you know, they are going to abuse the red flag laws, period. They're going to use them to take away weapons from people that that they fear, you know, in their minds could overthrow them. All right, Newsweek. Is Justin Mon a Trump supporter? What we know is from 47 minutes ago. They're already gearing up for the election, man. This is fascinating. Yeah. Anyway, they quote Justin Mon saying the federal government, this is a quote from Mon, quote, the federal government has declared war on America's citizens and the American states. America is rotting from the inside out as far left woke mobs rampage our once prosperous cities, turning them into lawless zones. Unquote, Justin Mon. I mean, you can see, like, he's saying the same things that pretty much everybody says on RBN or Alex Jones or, you know, any far right.
Oh, increasingly on Fox News, even. I mean, yeah. Is there anything that he says that couldn't be said on Fox News?
And well, I mean, I don't know about now. I haven't watched Fox in a while. When Tucker was on Fox, yeah, sure. You would hear that stuff. I don't know if Hannity says things like that. But, I mean, the net that they're throwing out here, the media is already throwing a very, very wide net out. Right? To just target this. This could give the system point-blank range to target all sorts of people. Just regular people that, I mean, that are making these obvious, hey, I don't, you know, that's terrible what mine did, but what he just, that quote that I just read from him, that's anything any of us would say. That's a very general thing, only we would say, we would get Jews in there somewhere. We would get Jewish power in there.
But other than he totally didn't mention the Jews, did he? That, I mean, I'm sure if he did, that would be reported.
See, that's the beauty of this is, like, this guy represents Joe Blow, average American, that don't talk about Jews or racial issues.
And they're dividing us. Let's unite. Let's unite. And Judeo-Christian.
Yeah, Judeo-Christian.
I mean, I just see this as somebody who I don't know. I mean, details, I suppose, will come out, but it just seems like a very mentally ill person who went way over the edge.
And so
I know people, this is the thing, like classic schizophrenia. Typically what you have is a very normal child. And then in late adolescence or early adulthood, their behavior starts to become erratic. And I mean, there's other forms of mental illness or whatever, but the classic schizophrenia, their behavior becomes erratic. You know, you've got manic depression or bipolar disorder. They tend to be all part of the spectrum. So they're in there, and when they're on manic phases, they're often very elated, and this would be a kind of a manic thing to do. But you know, manic things can be to like jump on a table and start shouting and preaching and whatever. And then, you know, you also get these periods of depression where they're talking about killing themselves, maybe try to kill themselves. And they often will engage whoever they're living with, which is often their parents, because, you know, their parents wind up taking care of them. It can just be nonstop for the parents. They've got this mentally ill adult child living with them, complaining about everything that they've done to them over the lives, you know, blaming everything on the parents. This type of thing is very common. And, you know, it can be just a living hell life sentence for the parents. And so I don't know. I mean, I don't have the information, but that's, if you want my first gut reaction, it sounds to me just like very severe manic depressive schizophrenia, paranoid schizophrenia. And the politics has really nothing to do with it. If other things were in the news cycle, it would be the other things. It could be global warming. It could be anything.
And the Newsweek article that I pulled up about asking if he's a Trump supporter, you know, of course, they're quoting journalist Victoria Brownworth saying that John Mahan or Justin Mahan follows the MAGA playbook promoted by Trump and the GOP.
I don't know what page of the MAGA playbook talks about beheading your father.
Right. Of course, they're talking about, you know, the rhetoric like he quoted, like what I quoted from him. I mean, this whole, you know, government is corrupting, you know, Black Lives Matter, allowed to destroy cities thing. Just anybody that brings that up. This is just, seriously, though, I can already see where this is going right here in the election year. And it's going to be brought up in the debates. You know, here we go. So anyway, I have another article. If you're done with this one, that dovetails very well with the Justin Mahan thing. WKMS, head of the FBI in Louisville, Kentucky, says that investigating January 6th and domestic terrorism is a top priority, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. So it says here, 25 Kentuckians were arrested and criminally charged for taking part of the, and here's their words, the January 6th, 2021 attack at the U.S. Capitol building. It's always an attack, isn't it? Or an insurrection. When hundreds of people descended on the nation's capital, the 25 people that were arrested were charged as part of a sprawling nationwide investigation into the events of the day. It says here people traveled from Kentucky with the intention of stopping the peaceful transition of power and were prepared to use violence to do so. This according to a Kentucky CIR review of the court records. So Michael Stansberry, he's the special agent in charge of the FBI in Louisville, right? Fairly newly appointed, I think last fall.
Everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. Every move he makes, another chance he takes. The odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man, they've given you a number,
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Michael Stansbury, he's the special agent in charge of the FBI in Louisville, right? Fairly newly appointed, I think last fall. And so they interviewed this guy, and I don't want to read it all, but they're basically asking him, you know, the more interesting parts of the interview is getting into asking the FBI agent, hey, a lot of people are saying that these January 6th guys are being treated unfairly, no due process, bad conditions, and of course, the FBI agent gives the sterile, you know, by the book answer. I don't know anything about any of that. It's up to the court system when they get a trial. And, this guy's probably not a bad guy. I know a cop that knows some FBI guys here, and they're just normal people. So probably you're more corrupt, you know, you're more corrupt type FBI guys are going to be, you know, in your more like Washington, D.C. area, I don't know. Around here, everybody's pretty normal, right? And this guy's, you know, basically saying, well, we're just after anyone that actually breached security in the Capitol. We're not, you know, it was their legal right to protest. It was their legal right to be there. But once they breached the security or did any damage, then they broke the law, and that's who we're after. That's what he's saying. So, I don't know. I thought it was interesting that this article comes out right after the Mahan article, and that's why I wanted to cover it. I didn't know 25 people in Kentucky were charged. quite a bit. I personally know a guy that was on an ankle bracelet in his own home. And then I also personally know a builder, a contractor, that said he had several friends that went. They didn't go into the Capitol or breach any security, but their phones were pinged, and the FBI visited their houses. Basically, you know, Microsoft or Apple or whoever is, you know, their phones belong to, gave the FBI information and gave the FBI their addresses, and they got a visit like in the last year. Now that's kind of crazy. And they were just questioned, right? The FBI just questioned them on what happened there, what did they see, things like that. They weren't arrested or detained. But just the fact that they would ping your phone, man, and the phone companies give that up, I mean, they must have some sort of point-blank federal warrant that makes these data companies give up your information. You'd have to have a warrant to get someone's information up on their phone.
It's disturbing. I mean, the whole thing was a mess. January 6th, everything that the country's going through is a giant mess. The thing is, in this preceding year, in 2020, there had been a ton of, everybody knows this, the Black Lives Matter peaceful protests, which routinely became riots. And, you know, people could go down to them and demonstrate and be peaceful, and most of the people would be peaceful, and they'd be demonstrating and saying whatever they're saying. But it was very, very likely, it's in so many cases, it had just happened probably hundreds of times if you add up all the cities and all the days, where it then became used as a vehicle for a riot. So you'd have a whole bunch of people protesting, and then you'd have people who would use that environment to loot, to set fires, to commit mayhem. And so that was happening all the time. So everybody, you know, maybe not the first day or two, but this went on throughout the summer, and people who went down with full knowledge that they were going to an event that was very likely going to become a riot. Even if they weren't going to be participating in the riot, they knew they were going to an event that was likely to become a riot, that had a very reasonable probability of becoming a riot. They knew that. Now, if you looked at the January 6th people, there had been this Stop the Steal movement. This was kind of like the culmination of the Stop the Steal movement. And you had in state capitals around the country, in particular in the five main states that were being disputed, but also in other states. I mean, you had, I remember looking at YouTube videos in Jefferson, Missouri. Missouri wasn't being disputed. Trump had won it, but you had little Stop the Steal rallies at all the state capitals. But even, you know, the ones that were the state capitals that were the main ones, you know, Phoenix and Harrisburg and Lansing and whatever, Madison, Wisconsin, Atlanta, Georgia. People like Nick Fuentes and Alex Jones showed up at them, but also a lot of Trump surrogates showed up. So you had a bunch of them, and they would attract thousands of people.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email tom@republicbroadcasting.org. tom@republicbroadcasting.org.
Nick Fuentes and Alex Jones showed up at them, but also a lot of Trump surrogates showed up. So you had a bunch of them, and they would attract thousands of people. And there were a few that were in Washington, D.C. And some of them in Washington, D.C. had tens of thousands of people. And so the thing is, you had over the course of the preceding 2 months, you had had hundreds of Stop the Steal rallies, and not a single one had become a riot. So the people who were attending January 6th, which was, you know, by far the largest, but it was part of a series of events, part of a movement, they had no reason to suspect that this was going to become a riot. And you know, you had had Proud Boys or other groups that had been attending these and walked around and maybe walked around in uniform. They'd been attending the ones at state capitals, but nothing had become a riot. So the thing is, the people who attended January 6th had no reason to suspect this. This was something that was a surprise to people. I think most people were thinking that, you know, if anything, they'd just go down and stand around and Congress was going to do its thing, and nothing would come of it. That's probably what most people were thinking. And now it does get complicated, because you had A, you had these federal agents who were planted in the crowd that were provocateurs. You definitely had provocateurs, federal agents, or in some cases, maybe just regular Antifa. But you definitely had provocateurs who were trying to start things. And you definitely had at least two cases where you had people breaking windows of the Capitol and then the Trump supporters stopping them and calling them out. And of course, you famously had the night before the who's the guy that everybody talks about, that tall boomer guy. Everybody talks about him. He says, we're going. His name slips in my mind. And he was saying we're going in the Capitol, and then everybody around, and actually it was Baked Alaska started it, but Baked Alaska said, you're a Fed, and Baked Alaska got the chant started, and then everybody started chanting Fed at this guy, whatever his name was, it slips my mind. But you also had, what's the guy's name, Stuart Rhodes of the Oath Keepers, and he had a week earlier, like right around maybe, I think it was December 30th or so, right at the end of 2020, he had posted on the Oath Keepers website some manifesto calling on Trump to impose martial law and fight a war with China, because China had conspired with the Biden administration. We're already at war with China, and we've got to Trump needs to declare martial law and fight a war with China. And he had posted that, and so his group and I guess the Oath Keeper, the Three Percenters and the Proud Boys had people, and particular his group. I mean, his group had called for an overthrow of the government. His group was doing some sort of what is the live action play role? Is there there's some sort of acronym for it. I can't remember what it is, but LARPy. They were calling for some sort of LARPy insurrection, thinking that if they arrest Nancy Pelosi and rape AOC, that then the military will obey their orders, because maybe there's I guess in the game there is a cheat, right, where if you rape rape AOC, then the military will hand over the nuclear codes to you. But
which I totally disavow. I totally disavow the rape of AOC, by the way. Go ahead.
Obviously. It's hard to imagine that you could get a few dozen people to think that they were going to do this. But those... The existence of those people, though, does massive damage to the hundreds of thousands of regular people who went down, and to the, I guess, hundreds or a thousand people who wound up wandering into the Capitol when the police opened the doors for them.
And to your point, I think that was done on purpose. I think all of these groups that you mentioned were heavily infiltrated by feds. I mean, that's a fact. And that was the purpose of them, was to disrupt this entire thing for the, you know, close to a million people that came there with good intentions. And by the way, I also disavow taking AOC out for dinner, a romantic dinner, and having consensual sex with her. I disavow that.
Yeah.
So some of the questions in this interview with the head of FBI in Louisville are very leading questions. Let me read just a couple that goes along with your point. Interviewer asked, my reporting identified a handful of people that were involved in organized militia groups that did have plans that were pretty explicit about their intentions for stopping peaceful transfer of power. And a lot of them mentioned kicking off a civil war. It's not illegal to be part of a militia, but where does that kind of activity turn into a problem? That was the question to the FBI director. And the FBI guy gave a very sterile answer. He's like, yeah, you can be a part of groups, but when you talk about overthrowing the government, you're breaking the law. And then when you damage property, he gave that answer. You know, he specified that you can be a part of a militia, but you can't make plans to overthrow the government. So, and then here's another question from the interviewer, quote, so can you tell me about what the investigation found about these members of organized groups? Is it fair to say that there's an active and organized presence of these groups in Kentucky? And the FBI guy acknowledged that, yes, there are groups like this, and that that's the type of people that they're targeting. Any group that they can prove planned, interrupting the transfer of power or overthrowing the government or doing any violence or damage. So I just thought the questions were a little leading. They weren't very objective, my opinion.
Mm. Yeah. So just getting back to January 6th, as RBN listeners here on a loop, there was a way forward on January 6th, and it did not include, you know, the stuff that wound up happening. It was kind of frustrating the whole time, the 2 months leading up to January 6th, hearing all the ideas that people had about how to rectify the situation. The emphasis, even Trump, and you would think that as president of the United States, he'd have better legal advice. But the idea that, and he made this in his speech on January 6th, that somehow Pence could just turn everything back. To the extent Pence had any ability to send votes back, that would have had to have happened in December. And there's very little precedent for that, but there's plenty of precedent for challenging the votes in Congress, and of course the Democrats had tried to do that 4 years earlier when Trump was elected. They had tried to challenge the votes. Democrats had challenged, had successfully gotten a challenge to the state of Ohio in 2004, when Bush won his reelection. They challenged the electoral votes from Ohio, and there was a debate over them, and they were ultimately accepted. But you know, there's a lot of precedent for it, and I couldn't understand the direction that people were going in. And also, I mean, there was a lot of evidence of fraud that was easy to understand. And even though, England has always, and other people always badmouthed him, Rudy Giuliani had this kind of what I call a traveling show. He went to at least three of the state capitals where the electoral votes were most disputed, and set up hearings that Republican state lawmakers attended, and he had very serious people talking about the basis for why these why there was electoral fraud, and right, there was very compelling evidence that he was putting forth. Now, meanwhile, you had what was the guy's name with the weird name?
Is it the Mump Pillow guy?
Well, you had him and Sidney Powell and, what was it, Lynn something Lynn or Lynn something, Lynn Wood. And they were pursuing this whole idea that what was the name of the company that made the voting machines, that company was sending votes to Germany or other foreign countries to be counted, and then they were miscounting them in other countries. It was like, I got to say, it was a real boomer thing, because these people don't understand how hacking works. They don't understand how technology works. And it was reminiscent of about 20 years ago when Senator Ted Stevens from Alaska was talking about the internet, and he said it's a series of tubes, because he had no understanding.
I just had to laugh at that.
And I'm not saying that the voting machines couldn't be a problem. I'm sure the voting machines were probably a problem, but they weren't easily. But the thing is, they were never able to release the Kraken. They were never able to release the Kraken. They released my pillow guy released a 2-hour video, and the whole 2-hour video where he's in it talking to all these people never presented the evidence. It was just talking about how people had the evidence, but it was never presented the evidence. So there was a lot of weird directions.
going in. Yeah.
I'm just saying I'm more critical of these people, Powell and Mapillo guy and Lindsey and Giuliani. I think they purposefully were taking the wrong avenue. The voting machines were the wrong avenue to take.
Yeah. I take Giuliani out of that. Because I thought Giuliani, I watched his presentations to the various legislators, and there might have been, I don't know if he involved any of that evidence or not. It was all what's in the Constitution, and you know, the stopping the vote counting and wheeling, and it was all the mail-in ballot kind of stuff. I thought he was pursuing the right angle.
Okay. Well, I'll revise my view of Giuliani. Then I do want to correct something else that I said. This guy did have a pamphlet. They're not calling it a what's the word that they usually say? Manifesto. They're not calling it a manifesto. But Justin Mon did publish a pamphlet entitled, quote, America's Coming Bloody Revolution, unquote. Justin Mon said that, quote, Americans will have to weigh what is worse, allowing themselves to lose freedom and independence or killing their own family members, teachers, coworkers, bosses, judges, elected leaders, and other older generations, read that, boomers, because they may be traitors who wish to take away the freedom and independence that comes with America, democracy, and free market capitalism, unquote. According to Booksy, Justin Mon's pamphlet, which called for killing people, and called for a revolution. That pamphlet was published by Amazon, Kindle Direct Publishing, in August of 2020. It includes two chapters entitled Why a Violent Revolution is Inevitable and How Revolution Can Be Successful. Amazon published this. Right? Mm. The same Amazon that takes down David Duke's books on Jewish power published this pamphlet.
Yeah, for Kevin McDonald.
So, you know, when I say things are all controlled and everything's planned, this is what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about like people in a room, you know, in the North or South Pole or under Sweden, you know, dictating the way things are going to go. I'm talking about Amazon not taking this book down. Right? Why would they publish that? Why would that not be a book that when it calls for the killing of your own family members and peers, judges, elected leaders? It's just nuts. He promoted his book on his Facebook page, Justin Mon did. And presumably Facebook didn't take it down. And this was 4 years ago, nearly 3.5. So, you know, the conclusion I'm coming to is maybe this guy wasn't MK Ultra, but he was allowed to put this stuff out there because I think there was a plan for a crackdown. And the more people like this they allow to get their message out, you know, the more fodder they have for cracking down on normal people that just want nonviolent change. And this guy was the ultimate Fed poster. You talk about Fed posting, that's what this is.
Yeah. The ultimate Fed posting. So, I mean, that's what you're laying out is very plausible. The other thing is, so I remember my YouTube channel got taken down 2019, a year before he published this. A friend of mine said, well, you know, your YouTube channel was small, and it was probably just taken down by some sort of algorithm. I don't know, but the thing is, if it was,
but yet the algorithm skipped this guy, right? That's your point.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, the thing is, if everything was AI, and it text is a lot easy, would have been a lot easier for early AI. You know, maybe AI is getting better and better at dealing with vocal, like with spoken word, and it can transcribe it into text. But I mean, the text is what computers are built on, and so obviously his book hadn't been scanned, it would have been relatively easy if it had been subjected to some sort of automatic AI process. If it's a small book, you wouldn't, and nobody's reading it anyway. You wouldn't necessarily expect a human to read it and flag it. And so it was on Kindle. I mean, how many people ever read this book? I remember there was a case in Thailand, maybe a dozen years ago or so. So it was before a lot of the AI stuff. But some white person had published a novel that was insulting to the king and had a very draconian punishment.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read one. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered from a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious, he almost died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives that were more affordable, he tried Extendivite. Since taking it, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Oh, get it off! Get it off! Get it off! Get it off!
Stuff. But somebody had, some white person had published a novel that was insulting to the king and had a very draconian punishment, really harsh punishment. And the thing is, he'd only sold 7 copies of his book. And so I don't know how many people, like, he put this on Kindle. It probably wasn't a very good read. I don't know. But at this point, by 2020, it's pretty obvious that nowadays you've got YouTube and other media outlets that are just being scrubbed by AI algorithms looking for things. And so if, you know, this was an open call for killing people, and yet it wasn't taken down, so you have every reason to be suspect, I would say. You know, it's possible if it slipped through the cracks because he's such an insignificant person, and maybe, but when he published it, they weren't automatically screening things. But probably in 2020, by that time, I don't know, probably they were. I don't know.
I just, anyway, I've always thought that when the AI compiles this data, that there's a human being behind it that you know, receives the analysis and that makes the decision, you know, to scrub these things or not. And this kind of confirms this thing that I've been thinking for a while now. And maybe now the AI, like you said, is sophisticated enough to do its own scrubbing. But, like I said, the fact that this guy's stuff has been able to be up for 4 years now, I mean, that's just, to me, that just proves that they're going to allow individuals like this to be out there, to get their stuff out there, and to use them at a later date for their nefarious purposes of crackdowns.
Yeah.
I think. Well, anyway, we've got just a little bit of time left, right?
Yeah, like a minute. And I want to remind people, if you're curious about either what was going on with Iran or what's going on the southern border, refer to the part one of the Patrick and Jeremy show that was aired last night.
Yeah, we did cover that fairly well. The only other stuff I got is John Cusack is accused of anti-Semitism because he's calling for an immediate ceasefire. So John Cusack, he did all the Brat Pack movies. Are you familiar with Brat Pack, that term?
I didn't know the Brat Pack. Okay. So he was one of those monsters?
Yeah, John Cusack did those movies in the 80s. Pretty in Pink, The Breakfast Club. The Brat Pack, I'm not going to mention them all, I don't remember, but Judd Nelson, the kid that played Rusty in the first Lampoon's Vacation.
Yeah, Molly Ringwald, right?
Molly Ringwald, and what was the boy that played Rusty in the first Lampoon's Vacation, that guy?
I don't know.
Anthony Michael Hall.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, these are part of the Brat Pack, so John Cusack did these movies, and he's calling for a ceasefire in Gaza, and so that's anti-Semitic. There's a couple of things. Let me know if we run out of time.
You got another minute if you want.
There's a watchdog group called Stop Anti-Semitism, and they do an anti-Semite of the week. And John Cusack won anti-Semite of the week. So congratulations, John Cusack.
Congratulations. All right. All right. Well, thank you for joining me, Jeremy.
Thanks, Patrick. And man, if you can do it at all possible, try to stay classy.
We did okay on this show. We did. So we're on a streak.
Who knows about next week?
Who knows? It could go either way. All right. And thank you. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you. You're listening.
listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.